Good morning. We sang a lot of songs about God's faithfulness this morning, and I hope that it spoke to you this week. In the car, Garrett and I were driving and we're talking, and it comes up that, you know, all things are possible for God, and having this conversation, and then he thinks he has me, and he goes, "There's one thing God can't do, you know." And I was like, "Oh, what's that?" And he can't break his promises, is what he said. And I was like, yes, you are right. God is bound by his promise, and he's bound by his word, and God is faithful. And so just remember that and be encouraged by that this morning. So it's one thing to come up and unpack the scriptures and teach how to apply it, and it's another to come up and just, like, share my heart. And Jeff's words of advice were, just pretend it's youth convention. And I laughed and thought, we're not ready for that yet. So we won't do that. But I am excited, and I do hope that you hear God's heart more than anything this morning as to what he has for us as a local church, myself included, in this next season. But first, let's pray. God, we just come to you and we pause and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you keep your promises. And God, as we just take a moment to hear what it is that you have for us, God, I pray that we would only hear your words. God, that my voice would fade away, that your voice would be heard, and God, that you would be glorified, that you would challenge and equip us. And God, that we would just be excited for the work that you have laid out for us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a little bit of background. A few years ago, we as a local church set out to intentionally seek God and his will and his direction. And we put our values and our priorities into words and to writing. Our values were meeting with God, meeting with each other, and meeting with the world. Matthew 22, 37 to 39 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Then in Matthew 28, we read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.'" So we can see that our previous value statements were and are good, simple statements that line up with both the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And moving forward, that part doesn't change. But by tweaking a few key words, we can shift our values so that the ownership and expectation of each of us individually and corporately does change. So moving forward, our values as a church are connecting with God, connecting with each other, and connecting with our neighbor. And if you want to hear that unpacked further, you can go back and listen to Pastor Rich's message from last week, which you'll find online. See, I believe for this next season that God is calling us to more, to know him more, to trust him more, to expect more, to love each other more, to proclaim the gospel more, more in so many ways, more. But this morning, I just want to highlight two key areas or thoughts on this theme of more. And the first one is this. We need to be the church more than we come to church. COVID has shown us how any gathering or meeting can be easily interrupted or canceled. Weddings, funerals, concerts, school, nothing is or was immune. We still see remnants of that this morning as many of you engage with us from your homes because we have attendance guidelines that we respectfully must follow. But biblical love and community, those are things that can't be canceled. Living your life and faith out as the church, that can't be canceled. How many of you have ever worked in an environment where you've had to, like, attend meetings? After 9 years in retail banking, I can assure you that I have attended my share of meetings. We had staff meetings, teller meetings, sales meetings, manager meetings, district meetings, quarterly meetings, client meetings, and so on. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with meetings. Even now in ministry, we use staff meetings and board meetings and such. But meetings are a tool used to convey or collect information. That's it. So at some point, any efficient individual or organization will ask themselves, A, can this be an email? And B, are we just meeting for the sake of meeting? Likewise, the gathering of believers on a Sunday morning is good and biblical. Yet, if a spirit of apathy is allowed to come in and we gather strictly out of duty and meet together because it's what we've always done, then we're missing out on what it means to be the church. Again, you and I don't come to church, we are the church. We gather on Sunday mornings to allow God to transform us to be more like Him through the preaching of the Word, through His Holy Spirit. We gather on Sunday mornings to give God praise and worship and honor and glory because He has due all of it and more than we could ever put words to. We gather with one another to be strengthened. We pray for one another, with one another, to be held accountable, to be encouraged, to lean into the kingdom work that God is doing around us, and ultimately to see Jesus be made known. We gather for so many God-honoring reasons. But if we just come to church and we don't show up as the church, then we have to ask ourselves, are we just meeting for the sake of meeting? And if so, who wants that? I don't. I don't want it for me, I don't want it for you, I don't want it for us. And I truly believe that that's not God's design for His church either. I'm confident that there also isn't a non-believer out there that wants a part of that. Hebrews 10 tells us not to forsake gathering together. But we can't only come to church on Sunday mornings, it needs to be more. When we leave this building, we need to be reminded that we are the church and then live that out around us. We look to the scriptures and see what it is that made the early church so contagious. Acts 2, 42 to 47 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with sincere and glad hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. So I'm going to just like paraphrase that because we could break that down for a long time, but the passage highlights some of the things that the early church did really well. They were devoted to God's word and prayer. They practiced communion together and the act of corporate worship. They were filled with the Spirit and God used them to do miracles. They were in contact with each other regularly. They were unified. They took care of each other's needs willingly. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. It wasn't glamorous, it wasn't Instagram-worthy, but it was effective because it was Christ-centered. They were connecting with God, connecting with each other, and connecting with their neighbor. God's desire for our lives is bigger than just meeting on Sundays. It's more than one day a week. It's about showing up with a greater and deeper expectation on Sunday mornings and then asking God to use us the other 6 days while we rub shoulders with the people around us, whether that be at school or work, the grocery store, and even at home. And that brings me to my second thought that I believe God has for us, and it's this. If God is calling us to a season of more, then connecting with each other isn't optional. 4 years ago, my brothers and my one sister-in-law, we drove up to Yellowknife. It's beautiful up there, super far north, different tundra, wonderful. If you get the chance to go, go. But one of the highlights for all of us was seeing bison in person, okay? Like, we were legit tourists. We pulled the car over, we rolled the windows down, we took pictures, and they're these huge animals who, like, mainly live in herds, and they walk and eat at the same time, and that is something I can get behind, okay? Like, as a hiker, walking and eating is a great skill. But here's the most fascinating thing about them. Even though they're herbivores and they only eat plants, they're less often attacked by predators than other prey. See, in order for a wolf or a bear to successfully hunt a bison, they have to separate it from the herd. And the herd will run together and then turn and face their enemy and fight back, keeping the younger, more at risk bison sheltered. Now, bison do get eaten. It is the circle of life. But I believe that they're on to something here. See, each of us is created in the image of God, and each of us is created with an intrinsic need to be in deep, meaningful, biblical community. I'm not talking about knowing a ton of people, and I'm not talking about having a bunch of Facebook friends or Instagram followers, but I'm talking about two or three people who love Jesus and who know you, who actually know you, who know how often you read your Bible for real, who know the last time you fasted, who know your favorite ice cream, or if you hate ice cream, who know how your marriage is, who know how parenting is going, or how a season of singleness is going, because each of those has its own joys and trials. I'm talking about someone who has seen your house at its best and its worst, and yet is still willing to walk through life with you, pointing you in the direction that God has called you. People to pray with you and for you on an intimate level and vice versa. Because sometimes we just can't pray for ourselves. Sometimes life is hard and we know we need to, but we don't have the words and we don't have the strength. Someone who will give you sound biblical perspective. See, we weren't created to live life in isolation. We serve a triune God, God existing as three in one, community from the very beginning. When we exist in isolation, we don't allow ourselves into true fellowship. And when we don't allow ourselves into true fellowship, it's harder to be connected and connecting with God because we're at risk of living in fear. We're at risk of believing the lies that the enemy will throw at us. We are more likely to be stuck in habitual sin. We are more likely to just simply be overwhelmed by the challenges life brings. Remember, solitary confinement in prison is a punishment. I know you don't believe me if you have small kids at home, but it really, truly is. And this living in community and this true fellowship isn't just for women either. In countries around the world, more women are diagnosed with depression and to attempt suicide. However, the male rate of suicide is actually 3 to 4 times higher, depending on the country, than the female rate of suicide. Men, you need to live into real community, and you need people who know how you're doing. And if you want a biblical example of how to do that well, I mean, look at David and Jonathan. It is manly, okay? Connecting with God and connecting with each other. Start small, start slow, but make sure you start. Jesus had 12 disciples, an inner three, and then the one. Don't worry about finding a ton of new friends. Evaluate who is currently in your life and ask God to show you someone that you could reach out to. Again, start small. Commit to encouraging one another, to being honest, to praying with and for one another, to holding each other's lives in the utmost of confidence. Challenge each other to connect with God more on a deeper level. Pastor Rich called us to fast the first Monday of every month. You don't have to broadcast that, but tell someone, hey, I'm going to do this. Will you hold me accountable? Do you want to do it with me? It's not a great time. It's a challenging season, we know that. But if it is safe to do so, allow that person into your bubble and meet in person. Connect in person. If not, connect over a tool like Zoom or pick up the phone and connect with one another. That's really all there is to it. I know that, my heart is to see us grow and be efficient in our community, connecting with our neighbors, making an impact on this city, seeing our lives change. But I think in order to do that, God is calling us to connect with Him and get our lives in order and then connect with one another so that we can fully display for our community what it looks like to bear with one another in love, and that there is something different. There's something to offer. It's more than just meeting for the sake of meeting on Sunday. So I pray that you've heard my heart this morning, but also pray that you've ultimately heard God's heart. It's not that we haven't done things well, but moving forward, it's time to raise the bar. It's time for more, to be the church more than we come to church, and to live into biblical community more than we might be comfortable with, and to experience true fellowship. And at the end of the day, remember that it all ties together, connecting with God, connecting with each other, and connecting with our neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples. And as we lean into what God is asking, as we show up and weigh the cost, and as we pick up our cross daily and follow Him, may we become more like Christ, and may we also be part of a revival in this church, in this city, and in this time here on earth. So, let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given us a picture of what community looks like. I thank you that you don't want us to do life alone. God, that we're called to do life together. That it's not big or glamorous. God, it's letting people into the everyday little parts. And God, I pray that you would just speak to us this morning. God, that you would open our eyes and our ears to see those around us who are maybe in an identical season, or maybe who have gone ahead of us and can speak to the season that we're in. God, would you bind us together in love? Would you bind us together in the name of Jesus, that we wouldn't just be a people who show up on Sundays, but God, we would be a people that show up as the church, and then that we live that out. Jesus, I thank you for that. I thank you for your example. I thank you for your sacrifice, and I thank you that at the end of the day, you're coming back, and that we have hope. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.